Well, a God morning to you. This is part 25 in our study of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Hebrews. And my great hope and confidence is, as I have grown in knowledge and understanding through spending 6 months in this book trying to study, that you also, as a result of the teaching, have grown in understanding and knowledge of God and what He has done and is doing and will continue to do for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the 13th chapter of Hebrews. And as we get to this last chapter, we need to remember the beginning of this epistle, wherein Paul opens speaking of God. And he says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And he goes on to tell of seven great things about Jesus, which by some is called the gospel according to God, wherein it says, God, who has spoken to us by his Son, whom Jesus, he, God, has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he, that is God, by the Son, made the worlds, who, Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. In that Mount Transfiguration experience, the testimony of the apostles were, we beheld his glory. Speaking of Jesus. What is the seen glory of God? It is Jesus, the express image of his person. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Speaking of Jesus, who is upholding all things by the word of his power. When he, Jesus, had by himself, better translation, purified us from our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the rest of this book goes on to tell us of the person and offices, that is, function of Jesus Christ. And the way of relating to him, that is, that we should hear him in the Gospels, in the beginning of his public ministry, God declared out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And we are now coming to the culmination of this letter, and hope by the Spirit of God we can bring a fuller sense of all that has been put before us and is being put before us today. Paul says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Treat everybody the same as best you can. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer as adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Have empathy. Have empathy, not judgment. I'm always grateful to God to have the understanding that for more than 2,000 years, those books called Apocrypha were actually, and actually are, part of Scripture. And in that wonderful passage in the 7th chapter of Ecclesiasticus, wherein it says, "Seek not to be judged, seeing ye have not the ability to remove iniquity." Now, am I always in that state of mind? No, I'm not, but I thank God for his word, for his Spirit, which brings to mind the word and brings the right perception. Be empathetic, not judgmental. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I'm going to leave that one right where it stands, as we have taught always. laid the iniquity of us all upon him. And that statement opens in Isaiah 53, wherein it says, who has amend our report? Who has faithed our report? Who has put their trust in our report? I know many have, in the history of the church, and even to today, take verses like that and, you know, beat the children of God to death. That is, they beat the life that God would put in them and to some has put into them, and they beat the life out of them with this judgment. I mean, Jesus said, if you even thought it, you're guilty. We're here talking about God and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have been placed by grace through faith, that is, have been saved. Let your conversation, King James says, that is, your lifestyle, your habits, be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. We've hit on this theme that is also found in that wonderful joy letter of the Philippians, wherein Paul says, I have learned to abound and I have learned to be abased. And whatsoever condition I'm in, to be content. Now, King James adds that word, in whatsoever state I am, therewith, as if to suggest that we are to be content in a particular state. No, or with a particular state? No. Here's the state we're to be content with. God's word. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Promise of God. The relationship we're having with God and that God is having with us, wherein we call him, oh, sometimes it blows me away that the one who spoke and nothing became everything. He is our Father. And we are His children, and that through Jesus Christ. And be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That's the name Jesus. The Old Testament, in that story of Moses and Joshua, many are not familiar that Joshua's name originally was Joshua. It means helper. And God said, don't call him Joshua anymore, call him Jehoshua. Jehovah, contraction for Jehovah, Joshua, our helper. There it is. The Lord is my helper, Jesus. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. My pause is not a search for words, but an opportunity to let that promise, that state of mind, which should be all of ours, sink in. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their lifestyle or habit. It says conversation, but I'm giving you the true meaning of the Greek. I want to address for a minute this phrase, have rule over you. Because it's going to be mentioned three times in this one chapter. Look, the word is hagiomai. Properly, it means to lead the way, going before, as a chief. An official who leads, carries important responsibilities and hence it casts a heavy vote or has influence. Simply a person who has influence, who's leading. You know, there are some times that as much as I love and probably always will use this King James translation because I haven't found a more honest one, but sometimes I'm... Well, I'm not surprised. But in this case, I'll give you my personal understanding, my personal belief about the way they translated this word, hegeomai. I think it has a carryover of the Catholic influence, because they talk about who rule over you. You know, I came out of that. Oh, the Pope, when he speaks, it's infallible. What a dangerous doctrine. It's a poor understanding of the gifts of God, Domata, which he has given to the church, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Those of you who know me personally know my attitude is not one in which I think I'm the ruler, you're the subject. My constant hope is that I, as I am being led by God, are you being led by God also, but with some understanding of what comes from this, which we call the God School? It's not rule over you, it's leading you who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow the Greek has it pistin Mimimethste. Piston, the accusative form, that is, that which is being done on the one leading you. And we get our word mimic, follow. And that mimiste, pardon my Greek pronunciation, is in the middle voice, for your own sake, whose faith mimic. Considering the end of their habit or lifestyle, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I like the marginal references, oft times that are in this edition of my King James Bible, because it this verse brought me to a verse in the Gospel of John in the 8th chapter. It's in the 58th verse. I just share part of the conversation let's start with the 54th verse of the 8th chapter of John. And Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying." Guard. Have around. Keep his saying. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily," the Greek is, "Amen, amen, no doubt, no doubt, I say unto you, behold, before Abraham was, I am." And if we continue in that chain of references, Jesus said, "I am." And it would take us all the way over to the book of Exodus, quick look, chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 7 says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, a type of bondage to sin," I add, "and have heard their cry." God speaking, he's seen the affliction, he's heard the cry, and he says he knows their sorrows. And the 8th verse says, "And I am come down to not only to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians' bondage to sin, but to bring them up out of that land unto a good land." I want to take it beyond the time frame of the biblical history, because there are many that think that Canaan is heaven, but he says, he goes on and says, "unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. Man, that ain't heaven with all those ites around. But God is using in symbol that he came down to deliver and to bring them up again. And he goes on to give instructions. And he says in the 12th verse, certainly I will be with thee, speaking to Moses, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. Remember just a short time ago, the teaching on Gideon, this shall be the strength, have not I sent thee? And Moses said unto God, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. That's the 14th verse of the third chapter of Exodus. And in my Bible, I have a note in the margin. It gives us the Hebrew, Ia, Asha, Ia. Listen to this note. Implying here, I save in the manner in which I save. And God unfolds throughout this whole book the manner in which he has chosen to save, and it is through Jesus Christ. By grace are we saved, and that through faith. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the God spiel. That's the word under which we are to be influenced. I say, in the manner which I say. Oh, that can't be. We got to have all these, first of all, we had the law of God and blah, blah, blah. Well, God has handled that. Paul called it a schoolmaster to teach us that there had to be an alternative because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, now that we understand that and that we're saved, now we have to put on the doctrines of men, which tell us, you shouldn't do this, that, or the other thing, or you shouldn't do this, that, or you should do this, that, or the other thing. The manner. I save in the manner which I save, and God chose to save us by his Son, Jesus. By grace, unmerited favor, through faith. Which is trusting, acting on what God has said, in particular on his promises. And he said, the Lord is your helper. Jesus That's it. I am that I am. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today, and into the ages of ages, the Greek has it. Not a time without, not ever a time without him. Paul gives us a little admonitions after he makes that statement. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, unmerited favor, and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Broma is the Greek word, laws. In this case, it's talking about, you know, food allowed or forbidden by Jewish law. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. He goes on to say, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. You know, if we're, if other things, if people are occupied in other things, that is, either the law of God, which died with Jesus Christ when he was nailed to the cross, or with the doctrines of men, which are traditions which Jesus said make void the word of God, if that's their concentration, Paul says, we have an altar of which they have no right to eat. This is the New Testament. The Old Testament is unfolded in the New. The New was enfolded in the Old. That's why Paul spends so much time in that 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and 9th chapters speaking of Jesus, whom we gain more understanding by the types and shadows portrayed in the Old Testament. We have an altar, wherefore, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin is burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, henceforth. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Bearing that which he has done for us. All that he has done for us. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The Greek has it this way. For here we have no continuing city, but we are seeking one that is coming. And it is coming, folks. By him, therefore, by Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, Jesus. It's a good practice, it's a good habit to get into. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Paul speaks of the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's the fruit of our lips. With the heart, man believeth. With the mouth, declaration is made unto salvation. God likes to hear from his people, and mostly not complaints, but thanksgiving through an understanding of what God has done, and God forgive me, but these translators really weaken what Paul is saying here. But to do good, sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, and to koinonia, jointly participate, give. I'm not going to gloss it over. Continually giving thanks to God and to jointly participate, koinonia. Same word in Galatians 6. With the one who has taught you. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey them that have rule over you. Oh, man. You take your priests and your bishops in whatever denomination. Jesus saves, not the Pope, not cardinals, not bishops of any denomination. The ones who are teaching you God's word and leading you in God's word. It says here, obey. I don't know why they translated it this way, obey. We have taught on the word obey. The word obedience comes out of the Latin. Obedecere. Ob means to run. Decere means to speak. Obey means to run to the voice of the sayer. Run to God's word. Here, the word is piathestetai. It means be persuaded by the one leading you. Does that translation give you a little more insight into the relationship between God and his domata, his gifts to the church, and to those members of the body of Christ which are being led by the domata? A word to the wise. I hope you get it. Why should you be persuaded by them who are leading you and submit yourselves? Because they watch for your souls. Now, the ministry of the God School is such that, you know, I don't see you personally, and you don't see me personally. The concentration is on the word and hearing the word. My care and love for the congregation of the God School comes as a result of the love and the care that God has manifested to me and the desire to share that truth with his people, and in so doing, it is a watching for your soul. It says, as they that must give an account. It says the one leading God's people must give an account. I'm going to be honest with you. I study because my desire is to, as effectively as I am enabled, to communicate the gospel not only to you members of the God School congregation, but to the whole world. I'm not motivated from fear of having to give an account. Though it says those in this position do have to give an account. As I said, as God enables, as sincere as I can be, I, as often as I do, tell you of the gospel, of the grace of God, of the good news of Jesus Christ, who is our helper and will save in the manner that he will save. Don't have much fear of this verse, as they that must give an account. And as you communicate, not only with money, but with messages, as to the effect these messages have on you, it says that they may do it with joy, and I do joy. To both hear and receive of you. And not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Pray for us. That's a job you have. Pray for us. Pray for me. Pray for the ones leading you in the Word of God. We trust we have a good conscience, Paul says. We trust. We are presenting a good perception of God in all things, willing, that is, desiring to live honestly, to give you the honest, rock bottom truth of God's word. He says, but I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. I think he's coming all the way back to the 16th verse. To do good and to koinonia, forget not. And to pray. The 20th verse, Paul gives a benediction and a prayer. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant . The word is Ionios, being translated everlasting. It applies to none other than God. Nothing less and nothing other than the life of God. It's an exclusive word to God. The everlasting testament. As he goes on, he continues to pray, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. He's placed you in Christ, folks. Stop looking at yourself and look where to whom God has placed you. And that is in Jesus Christ, and therein are we perfected. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Sounds like a preacher. Just a few words, and they go on and on and on like me. We spent 25 weeks going through this few words that Paul says he has written in a letter. And have attempted to concentrate on the meat of this word throughout. But I assure you, it certainly... it may have seemed exhausting, but it certainly is not an exhaustive expose of this Hebrews letter. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that are leading you, and all the saints, all the holy ones, all the ones that have committed themselves unto God, all the ones who are made holy in Jesus Christ, and that by grace through faith, they of Italy salute you. And Paul ends, grace be with you all. No doubt. Now, in this Hebrew letter, and I find this kind of significant, the word grace is mentioned 7 times. The best definition that I have ever received of this word charis and its derivatives, grace, translated grace, charis being the Greek, is unmerited favor. Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Unmerited favor. That the Son of God should taste death for us. Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Not to find help because you deserve help, to find help which is available by God through unmerited favor. Hebrews 10:29. "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden under foot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace," unmerited favor. That's the gospel, folks. By grace are we saved, and that through faith. To hell with anybody that would count the blood of the covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, an unholy thing. And does despite to the Spirit of God's unmerited favor. Hebrews 12:15. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God." Be aware constantly of your state with God, of your relationship with God, of God's unmerited favor to you through Jesus Christ. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Put bitterness away. Look to God. Look to Jesus. Understand his grace, his unmerited favor. Hebrews 12:28. "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, unmerited favor, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And then twice in this last chapter of Hebrews, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not these goddamn rules. Okay, sorry, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Grace be with you all. Amen. No doubt. And that's the God School for today.